have a rain. This is Reverend Sheila Crawford, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. Well, this week marks the 48th anniversary of Israel's retaking of Jerusalem in the 1967 Six-Day War, which was won in the same week as the Feast of Pentecost. And that's going to be celebrated this Sunday. Pentecost commemorates the giving of the law on Mount Sinai to the Hebrews through Moses, and you can read about that in Exodus 19. So for Israel to regain Jerusalem, which they did not conquer in the war of 48 and 49, is a huge victory and a rebirth, you might say, just like the church was officially birthed on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Many say 1967 was a jubilee year. And let me not fail to mention the Blood Moon Tetrads that just happened to occur in 67 and 68. But of course, that was just a mere coincidence, right? Many religious leaders are calling for fasting and devoted prayer this week, and there is certainly a lot to pray for. But high on my list is for believers to get the same fervor as it had in the book of Acts, a refilling of that Holy Spirit power for a new boldness to preach the gospel and teach the word, making disciples of all nations, as Jesus' last words commanded, even in spite of the increased darkness that surrounds us. May there be pockets of revival all over, and particularly in America, my beautiful country that is being engulfed by demonic secular humanism. The good news is these are all signs of his soon return, that God is showing us on purpose so we will be stirred up to speak the truth to anyone we can. On to other news, the Huffington Post reported last Wednesday that Pope Francis has officially recognized a state called Palestine, and it will be legally documented in a new treaty and finalized in the coming months. So the Pope can decide this? Are you hearing bells and whistles? Perhaps for some, but it's no surprise to those who have been for years carefully watching the Vatican pulling the strings, along with his Jesuit general. This could very well be the beginning treaty of Daniel 9:27. If Israel, who will actually have no choice, goes along with it, and as I said last week, President Obama has told the UN that they should go ahead with the appropriate legislature for a Palestinian state. And if they do, the United States would not veto it. So it's a go. And obviously the Pope will hail it, as last week he has declared Abbas, the president of the Palestinian army known as Fatah, an angel of peace. Are you kidding me? And he's also about to canonize two Palestinian nuns, you know, so Catholics can have more saints to pray to. Meanwhile, President Obama's latest move is to proclaim once again that he wants illegal aliens to join the military. Well, of course he does. He wants a foreign army that would agree to kill Americans if the situation presented itself. There is also a question on a lengthy questionnaire given to all our military about this. Interesting how many are leaving, and especially Christians. Some are even given pink slips. And this is according to the website combatveteransforcongress.org. Check it out. Of course, this initiative is extremely dangerous to our national security and is being supported, though, by leftist and even Marxist elected members of Congress, which does fit quite nicely into a global scenario. Our president is doing the same thing with our police departments as in a federal takeover, which is why the DOJ has been brought in to investigate them, beginning in Baltimore, whose mayor, by the way, is also taking federal funding as are most big cities. Bottom line, comply or lose the money. And it's a lot of money. A lot of our taxpayers' money. Most agree that some kind of chaotic major situation will occur. So to justify the implementation of martial law, which is what the Jade Helm military exercises in the southern states are all about, and why the Department of Homeland Security keeps ordering more bullets, more caskets, and now even portable morgues, air-conditioned as well. Huge amounts of military equipment are being brought in on numerous mile-long cargo trains, also carrying tanks and trucks with UN markings. Of course, our government will tell you it's just a practice exercise. So if a disaster happens, well, we'll be ready to help. And all those Walmart closings in the South could very well be used for militia bases, detention centers, and God knows what else. Also, have you researched the massive underground tunnel systems throughout the South being built underneath these Walmarts? These would then serve as conduits for national defense to rapidly move troops and armor throughout the nation between strategic topographical locations. The Walmart owner, Sam Walton, is the richest man in the United States and one of the global elite, and Hillary Clinton sat on his board of directors for 6 years till her husband ran for president. Walmart is closely tied in with the Jesuit-controlled Department of Homeland Security. Just Google that for an eyeful. So much going on, it's hard to keep up with it all, but remember that all my radio programs are archived on our webpage, and now I will ask my husband Dan to pray for tonight's teaching.
Okay, thank you. I wonder where all that money's coming from, huh? Mm. All right. Father, we thank you for your son, Yeshua, who has washed and healed us from our worst disease called sin. We highly praise you as we lift up to you those particular prayer requests given to us this month, mostly for family salvations. Lord, send missionaries to our loved ones to present the truth, and may their hearts be receptive. And I ask that you bring a restoration to the mind of my aunt. Let this sudden onset be temporary. And her name is Gladdy, by the way. And as these days get darker, may we not only recognize the real enemy, but have the Holy Spirit boldness to take authority over it. And we pray added protection over the elect who must endure various persecutions around the world. Now guide us tonight and bless us with abundance, those who have set aside this time to grow in your knowledge as we continue to wait expectantly for your trumpet call. We pray this in the name of Yeshua.
Amen. Amen. And we are very happy to address your questions concerning end times. And honey, will you tell our listeners how they can do that?
Yes, you can send us your questions or comments by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. And love offerings are very much appreciated and automatically put you on our mailing list for future newsletters. Easy to sign up. Just go to our webpage, shofarministries.net, where past and radio and teaching letters are all archived for your learning pleasure.
All right. Well, the Feast of Pentecost is this Sunday. And last week we talked about that as well as summarized the traditional Bible reading for this feast. And it's the Book of Ruth. And hopefully you and your household will read or better yet study over this weekend the Book of Ruth. For there's some very great, interesting pictures for you to find. Just a quick review from last week. Ruth is the story of a widowed Gentile falling in love with Israel, its people, and accepting its covenant that the Hebrews received on the first Pentecost in Exodus 19. Ruth later marries the Jewish kinsman redeemer named Boaz. That's a picture of our marriage to the Jewish Jesus, who is our kinsman redeemer, who redeems the earth. And, of course, this is brought out in Revelation 5 when he's given the scroll, which is, the title deed to the earth. But he cleans it all up before we move back in. Now, when you receive the title deed to a house, don't you go and clean it up first? Yes, it's kind of a great analogy, isn't it? But anyway, this story is a great type of how we, the church, are to feel about Israel, too. The story of Ruth takes place during the season right between the spring first fruits of the barley harvest and the first fruits of the wheat. So how appropriate to read at Pentecost, because it is the beginning of the wheat harvest. But here's an amazing fact. The Jewish people picked this story of Ruth, which to us is a type of the bride of Christ, and they choose to read it during Pentecost, which is, of course, the official birth of the church. Of course, no surprise to us that God would set it up that way. After all, the church has been grafted into the olive tree, which is the symbol for Israel. Just read Romans 11. So, we are to embrace Israel like Ruth did. That is, if we truly love Jesus. For now, we are no longer just a Gentile, but a born-again believer with a new name called Christian. And one day, all Israel will be saved. And have the name of Christian as well, according to Galatians 3:28. So here's some basic typology to the book of Ruth. But you need to read it yourself and look for more pictures. I'll briefly summarize again. A Gentile named Ruth has been married to Naomi's son who died. Naomi is a type of Israel, whose husband's name is Elimelech, meaning "My God is King." You can already see a great picture there. Ruth is a type of the Gentile church. A kinsman redeemer for Naomi named Boaz is a type of Christ, who is our kinsman redeemer. Now, Naomi's other daughter-in-law, Orpah, well, she proves not to love Israel. So she is a type of the unbelievers. And also, as I did mention last week, we found out in Scripture that the Gentile Ruth just happens to be David's great-grandmother. Wow. But I don't think Boaz would think it too unusual to marry a Gentile, as Ruth was, even though she was a convert, of course, which made it okay under the law. But do you remember who Boaz's mother was? You got it. Rahab. She's the one who hid the two Israeli spies. And then to save herself and her family, she left a red cord at her window so to later escape and escape death as well. And here's another typology. It's a type of the red blood on the doorway of the Hebrew slaves in Egypt in the first Passover, when the angel of death passed over their houses so that the family within it would escape death. And, of course, the blood of Jesus on the wooden cross so that we can escape death. It's amazing. The Bible is full of typology, and every time you read it, especially the Old Testament, please look for that. Look for pictures. It makes it a lot more fun when you discover them yourself. And, you know, Hosea 12 says, Hosea 12:10 says that they're in there. And Proverbs 25:2 says, God hides things so that we can find them. And it's so true. Okay, well, back to the book of Ruth. And I think it's time we should review the actual law of the kinsman redeemer that Boaz had to comply with. And, of course, this is found in Leviticus 25. It's a long chapter, and it's got lots of good stuff in it. I hope you will take the time as well to read it this week. But in a nutshell, and I'll just explain it. The land of Israel belongs to God. When Joshua entered the land, it was divided between the 12 tribes, which had to stay within that tribe. The land had to stay within that tribe. Now, if one in years following would fall hard, maybe as far as having some hard times, they could temporarily sell their parcel of land, which you would call really a lease. Basically, you sold the rights for someone else to use the land for a while. It was never to be permanent. And when the year of Jubilee would come, then the land would automatically be returned to the original owners. And that was every 50 years. Now, when they would lease their land, the title deed would also include the rules for title redemption. The law required a procedure so that if your next of kin, as in the case of Boaz, would show up, there would have to be rules to follow based on the remaining years left to the Jubilee, where he could purchase back the unused years, more or less, and it was called redeeming the land. Another great example would be in Jeremiah 32. Now, remember, Jeremiah was a prophet, and he knew what was coming, and he was instructed to officially buy land right before the house of Judah would be going into captivity into Babylon, so that after the captivity, Jeremiah's descendants could come back and claim the land. The title deed would be a scroll, on the back of which would detail the procedure for redemption. This whole concept becomes important when you encounter the seven-sealed book of Revelation 5. Remember, it says it was written within and on the backside and sealed with seven seals. I believe that was the title deed to the earth. He was about to be king. But again, he was going to clean it up first, which is what the tribulation is all about. But Jesus paid the Redeemer's price on the cross. And like I said, he's soon coming to collect it. Now, I also wanted to mention to you that there's a couple idioms mentioned, associated with Pentecost. Well, with Pentecost, it's called the first shofar. And the reason for this is because it is the first time a shofar was ever blown in the Bible, in the scriptures, in Exodus 19, and it was blown by God himself. So it received the idiom, the first shofar. In other words, today in Israel, if they say, the first shofar is about to be blown, they would know that Pentecost was coming. Okay? Now, there is two other shofars that we talk about usually in the fall, and that is the last shofar, which is associated with Rosh Hashanah or the Feast of Trumpets, because many shofars are blown on that day, and at the last trumpet begins the new year. So it received the idiom, the last trumpet. And don't think for 1 minute Paul didn't know that when he said it in 1 Corinthians 15 at the sound of the last trumpet, which we've talked about many times on this program and will again. And if you can't wait till then, you can always go to my radio archives. And then the last idiom is for Yom Kippur, and it's called the Great Shofar. So anytime you see the Great Trumpet or the Great Shofar, as in Matthew 24:31, you know it's referring to Yom Kippur, and at that scripture, it's talking about the end of the tribulation period. Okay, so Jewish tradition says that God's trumpet could be heard all over, not just at Mount Sinai, and that when God spoke, each could understand in their own language. Wow. Now, I can't confirm that in Scripture, but if this is true, how fitting is that in hindsight because of Acts chapter 2, where the people spoke in other unknown languages to themselves, and there was all kinds of people that were there, according to Acts. There was Persians, there was Romans, there was Egyptians, there was Arabians, etc. So those people could understand what they were saying. I just think that's amazing. And again, only God could set it up that way. I hope that this Pentecost is one where you teach your children all about it. And now you know why both Jews and Christians have very valid reasons to read the book of Ruth, especially during this season, which, by the way, is also called the Feast of Weeks, and in Hebrew it's called Shavuot. And the book of Ruth is really only like four chapters, so it's not really hard to read. And if you sit down as a family and read the word together, there is nothing more pleasing to God to watch parents sit down with their children and read them the Bible. I'm telling you. And you know, we're so living in these busy, busy times that it's kind of difficult to find the time. You have to actually carve it out of your day. I hope you'll do that, especially this weekend, which just happens to also be Memorial Weekend, so you got even an extra day there. And have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Just ask, and you shall receive. Do it today. You don't have to wait till Sunday. And be sure that you have that red cord of Rahab on the window of your heart. The blood of Jesus flowing throughout your veins. How well do you really know him? Is he really personal to you? If not, you can remedy that right now. Because Jesus is your Savior. And he's totally paid your debt for your sins. You need to grab it now. Take hold of it. Unless, of course, you prefer to pay the debt for your sins yourself. And you know it's always your choice. And are you just a lukewarm Christian? Do you fit into that church of Laodicea? You know, he'll spit you out if you're just lukewarm. And that really means not that you'll lose your salvation, because if you're saved, you're saved. But that scripture means that he can't use you. He'll spit you out from using you in any kind of ministry because you're lukewarm. So get in that word and be hot again. And if you're backsliding, come back. Come back before it's too late. And now I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. And of course, this is from Numbers 6, 22 through 27. And it's the prayer that God told Aaron to tell Moses to pray over the people. And in Hebrew, it says, Yivarekaka Adonai v'yishmereka, Ya'er Adonai panav eleka v'yuneka, Yasei Adonai panav eleka v'yusam laha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, shalom, and have a great week. By giving the gospel to at least one lost soul and making sure you're filled with that Holy Spirit power. You're going to need it. You're going to need that dunamis. Sha'alu shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, talking about Jerusalem, shall prosper. And of course you can read that in Psalm 122, 6. See you next time. Have a good week. Bless the Lord.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.